If we can turn over to Luke chapter 2, we're going to read what we have left off from last week. So this is, we're going to read from 39 through the end of the chapter. So feel free if you want to jot what you want to start and maybe leave it at somewhere in the middle. If Scott wants to finish it, if not, I'll finish it.
Okay. We're starting which verse?
Luke chapter 2, verse 39. We're going to start with 39. Actually, we can start with, the 40. Let's start with 40, and we're going to finish it at the end of chapter, which is 52.
And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." Should I continue?
No, let Scott finish it. Verse 49.
Why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
Okay. So last week we read the earlier part of this chapter, and I won't recap it for some reason. We'll just go right into this. Today's kind of focus is going to be on two things. Number one, Jesus became strong in the spirit, number one, and he was filled with wisdom. How does one, I'm titling today's message, how does one become strong in the spirit, grow in the spirit, become strong, and how does one become wise? And I'm not talking about wisdom of the world, but I'm talking about the wisdom of that comes from God. And we're going to kind of explore this subject. So if one wants to be strong in the spirit and they want to acquire wisdom, how do we do those things? So the first one is the becoming strong in the spirit. So we have the story, Jesus and his family. Jesus is 12 years old. His family go to from Nazareth, they go to Jerusalem to be part of the Passover meal. And the family leaves after the holiday is over, the Passover is over, but they notice like a day into it that Jesus is not in their convoy going up to Nazareth. And they look for him, they cannot find him. They go back to Jerusalem to look for him. They find him 3 days later. And what is Jesus doing? Where is he at? That's the first question. Where is he at? Where do they find him?
In the temple.
He's in the temple. And what's in the temple that drew him there? What is he looking for in the temple? Who is in at the temple?
The teachers.
Well, the teachers are definitely there. But yes, teachers are definitely there. But who else is in the temple? Whose house is this place?
He said, "I'm about my father's business."
It says it actually that in my father's house. I must be in my Father's house.
Yeah.
So Jesus is at his Father's house because his Father is there. Right? Why would you go to the temple? Because you're seeking God. It's his house. And what is he doing? He's sitting among the teachers, and he's asking them questions and also giving answers. Why is he doing that? What is that going to accomplish? In the olden days, I could imagine that you couldn't just go to the bookstore and get a Bible. Right? Everything was written by hand. And if you wanted to know the Bible, you had to go to the place where the scrolls were kept. And who's going to teach them? The teachers will teach them or read them. Jesus was there not only seeking God's face, but also was trying to get to know his Father better. Is that coming through the... And when his parents are asking in verse 49... He said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house?" I was thinking about that. Are we also trying to be at our Father's house? Are we also trying to seek his presence? Are we trying to also learn from his words? Jesus grew in the Spirit. He became strong in the Spirit. He accomplished it by seeking God, seeking his face, going to his presence, learning his words. I don't know if you guys can clearly see that, right?
But doesn't Jesus, I have to ask this, doesn't Jesus already have the divine knowledge from God because he is God in the form of a human being? Why does he have to seek this knowledge from God his Father? He already has it. You know?
Well, I can only go with what the scripture says. It's 40, it says, "And the child grew and became strong." So that means there was a growth and a growing process. And even Jesus had to seek God's face and seek to get to know him, whether talking to the teachers or asking them questions or answering questions and this back and forth. He was seeking to know his Father through this process as early as he was 12. And his parents, when they were seeking him, like, "Wouldn't you know that I should be here?" And the question becomes, like, if one wants to become strong in the Spirit, is there another process without being at the presence of God and reading and knowing his words so that we can get to know him? Is there any other way to become strong in the Spirit? I'll read Job 23. You don't have to turn there. This is Job 23. He says, verse 12, "I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." I've not departed from the commandment of his lips. I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. This is coming out of Job 23, verse 12. What is he saying? He puts more value into the words of God's mouth, the words of God, than his necessary food. When his parents find Jesus 3 days later, what has he been eating for 3 days? How did he find food? Is there like a soup kitchen and people are passing off food? Or he just did not mind not eating for a few days because he was treasuring the words of God's words. He was treasuring his words more than his necessary food. If one is repented, committed baptized, forgiven, and received the Holy Spirit, we are, the scripture says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will knock. And the ask, seek, and knock, and it will be given. It says the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And he reminded me, you guys remember the story where Elijah has a follower named Elijah has a follower named Elijah, and Elijah is about to go up to heaven, and his follower Elijah asked him to give him the double portion of Elijah's spirit. You guys know that story? This is 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 8. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right. Verse 9, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elijah, tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Elijah says, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elijah replied. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. And yet, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not. So there's a story about this man of God asking another man of God, a prophet of God, who has raised the dead, who has caused the famine. He wants double portion of that prophet's spirit. And when Elijah goes up to heaven, some spirit falls on Elijah, his follower. Later on, as we know, Elijah comes in the spirit and the power of in John the Baptist. You remember that John the Baptist came in the power, go in the spirit and the power of Elijah. So John the Baptist says this. In John chapter 3, verse 34, for the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. John the Baptist is telling us, who comes in the power and the Spirit of Elijah, God gives the Spirit without limit. Almost telling us that when you ask for double portion of some other man's spirit, you're shorthanding yourself.
What do you mean by that? I don't understand.
Let's say you say to me, I want to have double portion of your spirit. So God grants you the double portion of my spirit. But he's saying God will give you without limit. Why limit it to a double portion? God wants to put Jesus, the spirit of Jesus, in us. And how much of the spirit of Jesus is in Jesus? The full portion of God's spirit is in Jesus. And the Bible says that his spirit lives in us, that I'm in you and you're in me. You will know that someday. To recap, we're talking about how Jesus grew in verse 40 of Luke chapter 2, and the child grew and became strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. We're talking about what does it mean to grow strong in the spirit? How do we grow strong in the spirit? And we talked about how Jesus he's at the temple. Why is he at the temple? Who's at the temple that he's seeking? God. And what is he doing? He's talking to the teachers, listening and asking questions and answering. So he was trying to get to know God through the process, because again, you couldn't just go to the bookstore and get a Bible. This was the mean, perhaps, to get to know his Father. So if we want to grow in the Spirit, we have to do the same thing. We must also seek his face. We must also spend time with him in his words. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how, right now I'm just recapping, you just joined in. Job says in 23, verse 12, I've not departed from the commandment of his lips. I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He's talking about Job is talking about that he treasures the word of God more than his food. And Jesus, who was 12 was at the temple for 3 days. What did he eat? And why is that important that we are trying to learn from Jesus? Well, Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who's fully trained will be like his teacher. Jesus is telling us that we're never going to be above our teacher, Jesus, but whoever is fully trained will be like his teacher. We want to be like him. We want to also grow strong in our spirit. Wisdom. How do we grow in wisdom? Who's the source of wisdom? Proverbs 2, chapter 2, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. For the Lord gives wisdom. So as we spend time with God, and learn from his words and value his words, he will impart wisdom to us. He will give wisdom to us. You want wisdom? That's how you're going to get it. You got to spend time with God. You have to be in his presence, just like Jesus was at the temple seeking God's face, trying to learn and understand his Father through his words and the teachers that were around. I want to talk about obstacle. What is the biggest obstacle for us to be at God's house or in the presence of God? I'm going to read one verse from Luke chapter 1, verse 80. This is about John the Baptist. And the child grew and became strong in spirit. He was in the wilderness till the day of his manifestation to Israel. So this is John the Baptist. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Why, if you read about this, you ask yourself, why was John the Baptist in the wilderness? What was he doing in the wilderness? What was in the wilderness? Any thoughts? Anybody?
In the wilderness.
Why was John the Baptist in the wilderness? What was in the wilderness?
He was seeking God.
What's in the wilderness, fellows?
Well, nature.
Pretty much nothing. Pretty much nothing. Right? Some of the translators use the word desert. What's in the desert?
Jesus was in the wilderness too.
Well, it says Luke chapter 5, this is Jesus, verse 16. So he himself, Jesus himself, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Why did he seek wilderness?
Because he probably wants time, intimate time with God alone.
Because there's nothing to distract him.
Yes, exactly. Intimate time alone.
What is one of the biggest obstacles of our time for us?
It's our phones.
It's the distractions. We have so much distraction. We have so many apps that can keep us entertained. We got so many TV shows that we can watch. We have so much going on all the time everywhere. I was talking to a couple of my coworkers today who are in their 20s. I joked and said, your children are gonna live in a pod and they're gonna never leave it. There's gonna be screens everywhere. They're gonna get up from the video games to their apps, from apps to the TV shows. They're never gonna leave. They're gonna be plugged into this pod because there's just tremendous amount of content to occupy us.
It's like the movie WALL-E where the bones start falling off of your body because you just have no muscle or skeletal. Mm. You know, because you're constantly on technology.
So So I was thinking about the Jesus talked about the four soils. You guys remember the problem with the third soil? You guys remember what it was?
Which soil?
Jesus talks about four soil. What was the problem with the third soil?
Thorns.
The thorns. It says in Mark 4, 18 and 19, still others, seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful.
Ooh.
Worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful.
That's in Mark?
Mark chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. I was thinking about this. Worries of this life. Why do we worry about life? I'll talk a few things, and if I offend anybody, I mean none of it. Please forgive me.
Mark 4.
When we're not content with our homes, we take on more homes. And it costs us money. Now we have to work harder. We're not content about our cars. We take on newer cars. Now we have to pay for it. And we're busier again. We're not content about our bed. We just got a bed. $3,000. You can finance it. You can take on more because we're not content with what we have. So we're always... worries of life choke the word. It talks about the worries of this life. Why are the worries? We just take on too much. We live in bigger homes that we can afford. We have bigger cars than we can afford. We have newer beds and newer this and newer that. We take on more and more, and that it creates worries of this life. The deceitfulness of wealth. We want to make more and more and more. What does it cost us? Time. It costs time. You have no time left. Deceitfulness of wealth. Desire for other things. Last Sunday, I heard there were football games from 1 o'clock till 12 o'clock midnight. Man, desire for other things. You want to just vegetate and watch football?
No, there is no.
All day long.
It's a waste of time, honestly. At this age, I don't care anymore.
And why did John the Baptist was in the wilderness in Luke chapter 1, verse 80? Because probably there was nothing in the wilderness. He was just trying to empty his schedule. Why did Jesus go to lonely places, the wilderness, to pray? Because there was nothing in the wilderness. He can actually not be distracted.
No distractions, yep.
So you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and grow strong in the Spirit and wisdom, you have to spend time with God. You have to eat His Word and hear His Word and know His Word, ask questions, walk with other people, study His Word, answer His questions, meditate on it, just like Jesus. Jesus didn't get there. In one day, He grew strong in the Spirit, the Bible says. Same thing for John the Baptist. I will conclude it with this. Remember Peter writing in Mark, it says, verse 19, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. This actually reminds me, Luke 13, where Jesus talks about the parable of the barren fig tree. Then he told this parable, verse 6. Man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year and I will dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. Unfruitful trees will be cut down. We don't want to be among unfruitful trees that don't bear any fruit, because Jesus is like, says, cut it down. The third soil, it says, making it unfruitful. It's unfruitful. The worries of this life deceitfulness of wealth and desire for other things makes it unfruitful. We don't want to be among them. So, we're recapping Luke chapter 2. Jesus grew strong in the spirit and in wisdom, and much grace was upon him. And where do we find Jesus? In the temple. Why is he in the temple? Because God is there. Why is he sitting with the teachers and learning? Because he's trying to learn the word of his God, his Father's words. You can only get to know God through the words of God, in a way. And that's how we get to know our Father. Well, how long was he there? For many days. Why? He says, why did you look for me? Don't you know that I must be with my Father? Can I say that about you? Why are you looking for me? Don't you know that I'm trying to spend some time with the Father?
Yes.
Like he's not, if we want his spirit to be in us, we have to grow like him as well. Do the things that he did. Seek wilderness. And again, you're going to say, hey, how could I do this? I have all these obligations now. And I'm not saying you can unplug everything and get rid of all your debts and all these obligations you have put yourself into. That's not necessarily what I'm saying. I don't want you to go home and start like, but our lifelong trajectory, effort is to simplify and to seek wilderness in our own lives, to make things, worries of the life cannot barge into your space because you have not overstretched. You made conscious decisions to not to overstretch. You chose not to get into the next house. You chose not to get into the next car if you couldn't afford it. You chose not to buy that summer house. You did not take that other step of a career move because you know it's going to cost you more as far as your time goes. Again, I'm going to repeat myself. I'm not pointing fingers here to anybody.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
Seek trajectory in life to simplify your life. Make good decisions so that you be content with what you have. So that you don't have to overstretch, because things can happen, calamities comes, you lose jobs, and you took all these obligations.
Yes.
You made all these future commitments to things and matters, and all of a sudden now you're worried because you're anxious because you can lose it all. I'm just saying, like, pursue on the long haul a trajectory. You cannot do it right away. It may take you years to get there, but the goal is to grow in the spirit, grow in the wisdom, because why? Because your spirit is what's going to endure. Your flesh and everything that you worry, you pursue here is going to stay here. But your spirit and your relationship with God that you're cultivating today is for forever.
Yes.
And you're welcome into his heavenly dwelling because you sought him here. You loved him here. You knew him here. You spent time with him here. And I'm not going to hold myself up. I was thinking about it, but there are many things that, like, I personally am trying to do to seek peace in my life.
Yeah.
I almost spend no time on YouTube unless I'm some sermon. I don't have the app on my telephone. I spend no time on those reels on Facebook or any of those things because they're like magnetic almost. Once you start watching, you cannot stop it. It's just like hours and hours of it that you can waste on those platforms.
Yeah.
And
100%.
I don't watch television because if I do, I am like, they are so successful to pull me in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Once you watch one, you want to watch the next, the other one.
Yep.
And all of a sudden you're like watching years of television. And for what profit? What profit would I gain from doing those things? I try to simplify my life. I try to be content. And again, I'm not trying to hold myself up. I'm just saying that this applies to me too. Trying to simplify my life because I wanna have time, not only in the mornings, but sometimes later on, day and night, to read his word and to pray. Because why? Because I know that there's no other way I can become strong in the Spirit and grow in wisdom. And wisdom comes from the Father. You have to spend time in His presence. Just like Moses was spending time with the Father on the Mount Zion, Sinai, when he came down, his face was glowing. It was the light that Moses was reflecting wasn't from himself. The wisdom that we have is not our search. It is something that comes from the Father, and He gives it to those that are in His presence and love Him and know Him and seeking Him, just like Jesus is trying to do as early as He is 12 years old. I'll conclude there.